morning. This is On the Record. I'm producer Andrea Appleton. Today, we're talking about a new form of ID, the Municipal Identification Card. About 10 cities across the country now issue their own ID cards. They're meant to benefit people who've had a hard time getting other kinds of government-issued identification, like a driver's license. Depending on the city, the cards allow carriers to do everything from open a bank account, to use the library, to prove their identity to law enforcement. On Monday, the Baltimore City Council will vote on a bill that would create a municipal ID in Baltimore. City Councilman Brandon Scott is lead sponsor on the legislation. He's a Democrat who represents the 2nd District, and he's here with me in studio. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
So who is this card intended for?
This card is intended for everyone that's a resident in the city of Baltimore. But I have to start off by telling folks how we got here. So municipal ID or one card IDs is something that I've worked on since I was staff in the city council president's office in 2008. So for those who think this is something that we've just decided in the last month, it's actually the complete opposite. When we started back then, it was about strictly around the young people, and that, to me, still is the main focus of this piece of legislation. At that time, D.C. was the first, and what we saw is that they were allowing their young people to, with their school ID, go to the library, go to the rec center, go to their pools, get their youth works jobs, open bank accounts, get on the subway and bus with one ID. Whereas in Baltimore, what our young people had to do is you had an ID for school, a separate library card, a separate thing to get on a bus, something for your lunch tickets, something for library books in school, something different from the rec center, which actually is a huge waste of taxpayer dollars. Why print 5 and 6 cards when you can print 1 to do all of the above? So that's how we started here. We started out that, and we were not able to do it back then. Actually, the truth is, last month, the students started to get their version of it. So students now in Baltimore City, middle and high schools, have a school ID that we've worked out with MTA that they can get right on the bus with it after school. But as one of the staffers in the school system said recently at a meeting, we cannot reach that full potential without having a full-blown municipal ID program because they do not have the authority to have direct centers added to that, the library added to that, all the other city services. So that was the initial purpose of that. Doing my research about this over this period of time, we found out that other cities, New York, Newark, New Jersey, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, all had expanded that into having a full-blown municipal ID program that had benefits for everyone, especially those people that were vulnerable, but not just them. So if I'm a homeless person in New York City, I can get an ID. If I'm a victim of domestic violence and I had to leave my house in the dark of the night and all my belongings, everything that identifies me in a typical sense to get a driver's license is at that home that I'm never going back to. If I'm an immigrant or refugee in the city of Baltimore or New York or wherever, I can prove that I live here. It will be honored by law enforcement. It will be honored by financial institutions. And the real key for the regular, average, everyday citizen is that in those cities, and this is what we're going to try to do here as well, there are specific financial benefits to having it. Discounts at supermarkets, discounts at attractions, discounts for prescription drugs. These are the kind of things that the businesses have latched on to those IDs in those cities, and that's what we want to see here as well.
What's the incentive for businesses to give a discount to people using these cards?
What it seems to be the incentive is, especially if you're a business focused in that jurisdiction or if you're attraction focused in that jurisdiction, for example, we'll just mention the National Aquarium. Typically, the people that go to the National Aquarium are not the residents of the city of Baltimore. If there was a specific discount for them, they'd be a lot more likely to go. If you're a supermarket, you want to do that because you want to keep the people that live close to you, your store, coming to your store. If you're a sporting event, a music venue, you want the people that live in the city doing that. It helps you generate money by enticing them to come spend money at your place because once you have them in the door, of course, they're going to spend money to probably make up the difference of the discount. That's what it's about, and it's about creating a sense of belonging, a sense of unity, and a sense of pride in the city of Baltimore. And at the end of the day, it's also about being practical. Why are we going to be printing 4 and 5 different IDs when we can print 1 to do all of the above?
In some cities that have done this, undocumented immigrants have been sort of one of the stated main beneficiaries of these cards. But in Maryland, undocumented immigrants are eligible for a driver's license.
Yeah, but even still, folks still struggle in a lot of cases to get those IDs. If you represent parts of Southeast Baltimore like I do, you'll know that there are so many of our residents who live here, they work here, who walk around carrying cash because they don't have an ID and they can't get a bank account. And then they become victims of violence. You know, they get robbed often because people know that they carry cash. If they were able to easily get this ID without all the other stigmas and all the barriers that are in place for the other forms of identification and get a bank account, it cuts down on that. Also, a lot of times what happens if the police are interacting with them, someone calls 911, and this is true for returning citizens coming home from jail as well, who also struggle to get identification. Things that people would normally get a citation for, they go to jail for because they don't have an ID. You know, they will get a minor infraction, like a little piece of paper with a citation. But if the police interact with that person and they cannot produce some form of identification, they often end up in jail, and we shouldn't be doing that. We shouldn't be arresting people for minor things, and this is why the police actually support the bill as well.
So that's just police department protocol if you don't have an ID?
Yeah, they have to be able to prove who you are. Yes, ma'am.
So what, ideally, in your eyes, would a person with this ID be able to use their cards for?
For the young people, I want them to be able to use it for everything. I want them to be able to go to school, what they can, get on the bus, what they can now, check out their library books, go to the rec center, go to the pool, access all the city services that they have. You know, open bank accounts. We want our young people open bank accounts as well. For adults, I want them to be able to get their ID. Everyone show it to the police. Adults use our rec centers too. Adults use our pools too. Adults use our libraries too. Adults use the bus system, and we're going to try to work that portion out with MTA. This is what we want them to be able to do. Open bank accounts, gain access to city services, but also gain access to specific discounts and for being a ID holder in the city of Baltimore.
In some cities, like I think Oakland, California, municipal IDs.
There's a debit card on it. Yeah, we've thought about that. Talking to some folks in Oakland, there's some things and kinks that they feel like they may need to work out around that. So that's something that we're thinking about. But for sure, we want to work with our financial institutions to make sure that they can open up bank accounts with their ID. Whether they have it a direct debit card or not is something that, you know, we have not yet decided because Oakland is the only one. And there's been so many problems with that one in particular.
So you've been talking to other cities about how their program...
Yeah, this is, you know, there's actually a whole document that we have that talks about every single case of municipal ID so that you can look at it and understand. And I always say that the best about being last and doing something is you have to make the mistakes that everyone else made.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm producer Andrea Appleton. I'm talking to Baltimore City Councilman Brandon Scott about legislation he's introduced to bring a municipal ID card to the city. So you mentioned banks. One thing I'm having trouble understanding is why a bank, for example, would accept this as a formal ID if those barriers aren't there, because those barriers to getting, say, a driver's license are part of proving who you are.
So banks want people to open accounts with them first and foremost. But also what they've been doing will allow them to bank. And that's what we have to do here. And when you have places like MeQ in the city of Baltimore and Harbor Bank in the city of Baltimore, who are known for giving people chances and working with people that no one else wanted to work for, that's what we want to do. We want to tap into those resources, the people that have already shown that they're committed to helping people in the city of Baltimore when no one else will help them.
What is the process of going about and getting one of these municipal IDs once the program is in place?
Yep, once the program is in place, we'll have designated places you can go. There'll be an application and probably able to see online and things you need to bring. You'll be able to bring it there. They'll have to verify information and who you are, et cetera, et cetera. They'll print the card out for you and you go from there. Where that's going to happen at is still going to be determined. We can't, like, eat the eggs before the chicken hatches them. So once the bill is passed, we'll be going through a work group to talk about all the implementation details of where everything is going to go. Even from, we're pitching the idea of actually having like naming rights on the card as well, just like they do with the stadiums and the arenas. If someone wants to put their name on it and they pay a certain amount a year, which could help offset costs as well. So those are the kind of things that we're going to attend. But it's going to be very simple. You're going to go fill out your application at these designated places, have the information verified, and then you'll receive your ID.
What will you need to provide?
There'll be a list of accepted documents. You can see them. Actually, most of them are in the legislation itself. And if you're, for example, but if you're a homeless person, we also will be accepting in the legislation. We have any documentation that is accepted by homeless service providers in Baltimore's ID as well. So you can bring, if you're a person like you and I, you can bring your driver's license. That makes it real easy. You could bring like bills. You can bring a photo ID from a school, any of that kind of stuff that you have to prove who you are. That's what you'll need to bring.
But if you're homeless, you would bring...
Yeah, if you're homeless, so that's the unique case. So there's a specific outlier in the legislation that says, you know, homeless individuals in the city of Baltimore can verify that identification by bringing documents that are accepted by, we call them homeless service departments, so the people that work with the homeless now, and they actually have a set of documents that they do, and we'll be verifying it through them to make sure that they're residents of the city of Baltimore. They're the experts, and it's not us.
Some groups that oppose illegal immigration also oppose municipal IDs. They say they make life easier for people who are breaking the law by living here illegally. What's your response to that?
I mean, what they have to understand is that, listen, if these folks have been living here for 10, 15, 20 years and working and not doing anything wrong, it comes to a point where you're beating a dead horse, right? These people, their children can go to college here now through the Dream Act. They can go to college, but they can't have an ID. That really doesn't add up, and that's talking out of both sides of my mouth. And also, we have to understand the hypersensitivity of this issue because of President-elect Trump. And what I will say to everyone who says, well, oh, you're going to make it hard for him to find these people and get rid of them. The answer is absolutely yes. That's the point. We're not going to be keeping information to make it easier for him. But even to his supporters, what I'll say is that President-elect Trump has shown that he's come down on a lot of his original campaign promises. The wall is no longer going to be built, right? Obamacare isn't as bad as he originally thought. And my guess is we're going to keep hearing him come down on those things, and this might be one of them as well.
So you won't be keeping any of the data we that's won't be collected for the
Yeah, we will not be keeping pertinent personal information from people. There will be card identifiers, but we will not be keeping people's information.
Have you gotten any local pushback on this proposal?
Only from a few groups. The majority of people support it. Everyone knows that the original impetus of this bill was the one card for young people. One person said this is a waste of taxpayer dollars, and my response to them was, you can't waste taxpayer dollars by going printing five things to printing one. It just doesn't happen that way.
And if this bill passes on Monday, when do you expect that this program
It's going to take at least a year, at least a year. So the earliest I would expect them to see is in December of 2017, but it'll probably take a little longer than that as well.
And will the cards be free?
No. So for adults, there will be a fee. Who knows? Maybe if we find the right sponsor and things like that, we may be free. But there will be a small fee. But the boiler estimate sets the fee and not the city council.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Baltimore City Councilman Brandon Scott, a Democrat who represents the city's 2nd District. This is On the Record. I'm producer Andrea Appleton. Quick break now. Stay with us.